Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. During the coronavirus pandemic, we are worshiping exclusively online. This is a recording of our service. Thank you for joining us. Good morning and welcome to worship with Covenant Presbyterian Church this morning. We are so grateful that you are with us. We will share our prayer requests as we gather for prayer later on in the service. So a reminder that the way to get prayer requests to us is to send us a Facebook message or simply comment on this live video. And those prayer requests should get to me by the time we move to that portion of the service this morning. I am also aware as I monitor the software that streams the service from here at home that it looks like my bandwidth may be a little bit shaky this morning. So if we have video troubles with the service today, my apologies. There may be network problems that make things not work as well as they normally do. Thank you for bearing with us. A reminder, with that said, that we are continuing to worship exclusively online. At this point in the progress of the pandemic here in the Des Moines metro area, we are able to begin making building space available for small gatherings of, say, 10 or fewer. And we are focusing that use of the building on mission purposes and on care for those who are most isolated. If you have any questions about how we're making decisions about safe use of the building, please feel free to email me or call the church office, and those calls will also come to me, and we will be very happy to answer any questions you may have. And a note, coming up in August, that's about 8 weeks away for those of you keeping score, we will be hosting a blood drive at Covenant, speaking of use of the building for mission purposes. And we want you to know that blood banks nationwide are experiencing a critical shortage of blood right now. As things begin to open up and elective surgeries resume and summer activities lead to more accidents, the need for blood has gone up faster than donations of blood have gone up. So our partners at LifeServe Blood Center are helping us plan a blood drive at Covenant, but don't necessarily wait for our blood drive. Recruit your friends to come to our blood drive. Give blood this week or as soon as you are eligible. You will need an appointment in order to donate blood. They're not taking walk-ins right now in order to ensure social distancing. But please, tell your neighbors and your friends to donate as soon as you are eligible. Make an appointment today. And we gather now for worship in God's presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Thank you. We come before God as beloved children. With the confidence of children of God, let us humbly confess our sin. O Lord our God, you call us to proclaim the gospel, but we remain silent in the presence of evil. You call us to be reconciled to you and one another, but we are content to live in separation. You call us to seek the good of all, but we fail to resist the powers of oppression. You call us to fight pretensions and injustice, but we sit idly by, endangering the lives of people far and near. Forgive us, O Lord. Reconcile us to you by the power of your Spirit, and give us the courage and strength to be reconciled to others. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Do not fear, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Forgiven and freed, we are beloved siblings, children of God. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. We have a show and tell this morning, and the kids who are joining us today will certainly recognize this particular show and tell. This is us, or at least this is the words that we say together, because this the Lord's Prayer is Jesus' lesson for us about how to pray. We will say this prayer out loud together later when we come to prayer to that point in the service. But notice, when you look at this prayer, notice what it is we pray for. We pray for earth to become like heaven eternally is. We pray for the bread that we need every day. That's last week's sermon. We pray for salvation and for deliverance. That's next week's sermon. And we pray for forgiveness, just like we forgive others. That's today's sermon. To pray for forgiveness, just like we forgive others, I think that may be, for a lot of us, the hardest part of the Lord's Prayer. So I have another show and tell for you. This is Mr. Rogers, Reverend Rogers, a Presbyterian minister. Mr. Rogers knows that the hardest people for us to forgive are the ones we care most about. He says this: forgiveness is a strange thing. It can sometimes be easier to forgive our enemies than our friends. It can be hardest of all to forgive people we love. Like all of life's important coping skills, the ability to forgive and the capacity to let go of resentments most likely take root very early in our lives. I'm grateful that we get to learn how to forgive. We get to practice forgiving. And as Mr. Rogers says, it can be hardest of all to forgive people we love. It can be hardest to forgive people that we care about. You may have found that yourself, that it's harder to forgive your siblings and your friends and your parents. Because forgiveness is not just about pretending that something didn't happen. We can't pretend that we are not mean to each other sometimes, that we don't hurt each other sometimes. When we forgive, we actually have to recognize that we hurt each other and choose not to hold that against each other. And that takes a lot of honesty and a lot of trust. It means that we have to trust God even when we can't trust each other yet. It means we have to be honest enough to tell each other what happened and how it hurt, and what we really want. That's how forgiveness happens, when we recognize that we have hurt each other and we recognize that what we really want is to continue to be in good relationship with each other anyway. Jesus is going to talk to us today about forgiveness. And as we prepare to read about forgiveness, we begin with this prayer for the ability to hear Jesus properly. So let us pray. Speak to us, living God, as you have spoken to your people through the ages, through the voices of your prophets, the breath of your Spirit, and the life of your Son, so that we may live according to your word, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and says, I repent, you must forgive. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have only done what we ought to have done. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus is telling us about forgiveness today. He's actually ordering us about forgiveness today. Here's a story about forgiveness. This story begins when I was in high school, when my mom remarried, and I began driving about 20 miles every day to high school. My stepdad, Rick, ran an auto body shop. He bought cars that had been totaled and rebuilt them, repaired what needed to be repaired, and sold them on salvage titles, which meant that he could always provide a car that I could drive to school. Do what needs to be done is sort of his approach to life. So sometimes Rick would sell a car that I was currently driving and replace it with another. So I didn't always have the same car throughout time. One time an engine blew up on a car, but that's a whole other story. But then Rick bought and rebuilt a newer car. It was a Ford Taurus, and he put his whole self into rebuilding that car. He even invited me to help, which I can tell you I was not all that much help. But he did invite me to be part of that process. And I loved that car. That was a great car. And I could tell how much he had put into it as well. Well, I was not the best driver in high school. I wasn't a great driver even for a teenager. I had a habit of sliding off of the road in the winter, which I did with that Taurus. And I didn't just slide off into the ditch, I actually T-boned that car on the side of a bridge guardrail and scared us all to death and, of course, wiped out the car and broke everyone's heart. So Rick brought his flatbed trailer and loaded up this wrecked car and took it back home and parked it at the top of the driveway and put me in another vehicle, and I was able to continue getting back and forth to school. It seems like there was always an extra vehicle there. Now, there was some logistical reason that meant that that wrecked car had to sit there in the driveway for what felt like weeks. It was probably just days, but every time I came and went, I came and went past that wrecked car. Every time I came and went, I could see my stepdad's pain expressed in what I had done to that car, what I had done to him in so many ways. That's what Mr. Rogers knew about forgiveness. That's why forgiveness is hardest to practice with the people who are closest to us. Because the people who are closest to us have the most ability to hurt us so deeply. Which is why the disciples react the way that they do to Jesus' teaching. Jesus commands us to forgive our siblings in the faith. As we pray, we say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us." It's also true, of course, to say that forgiveness is good for our own souls. It's also true to say that we are able to forgive because we have been forgiven. And today it is true that Jesus simply commands us to forgive. Simply commands us to forgive and figure out later why we would forgive. It's no wonder the disciples respond to that instruction with a plea for the faith to pull it off. We remember everything that makes forgiveness so hard. Forgiveness pits our desire for fairness against our need for relationship, as if our anger were the problem. In that same way, forgiveness is used unjustly all too often to tell victims of abuse or discrimination or violence that you have to forgive. I should put forgive there in quotation marks because it's not really forgiveness. It's not really forgiveness when we tell someone that essentially what they need to do is excuse and ignore persistent sin against them. And that's on top of the emotional fact of the pain that we experience when our loved ones hurt us. So the disciples ask for extra faith in order to be able to forgive, and honestly, I don't blame them. But Jesus, of course, is having none of that. Forgiveness, he says, is nothing special. It's entry-level Christianity. Because what Christianity is for, what Jesus is here for, is to create the new future that God intends for all of us. And as long as we hold on to past wrongs, there's no real possibility of a future. Only it's a little misleading to call this entry-level Christianity, because remember, entry-level Christianity is death and resurrection. That's the entry level of Christianity. And only Jesus, who died and lives again, can command us to forgive. Only Jesus, who took our sin into his own body on the cross, can rightly command us to forgive. We can only forgive when we are willing to die and be raised again to new life. That's how hard entry-level Christianity is. Which is to say that the past matters, even when we're talking about forgiveness. Jesus doesn't begin with forgiveness. He begins in this instruction with rebuke and repentance. He begins with telling the truth about sin. He begins with facing the pain that we inflict on each other, telling the truth about the hurt that we endure before forgiveness can be real. Because forgiveness is not this invisible internal move. Jesus' ministry has been about new creation and relationships made whole. So forgiveness can't just happen inside me. Forgiveness has to move toward a new beginning, or it's not forgiveness at all. Which means the disciples are not wrong either. They're not ready to forgive without help from God, from the God who raised Jesus from death. That's what forgiveness does. Forgiveness is a journey through death into life. Forgiveness is the power of God. It's a power move when we forgive. There's real power in forgiveness because it's the power of creative, redeeming love made real in our lives. Forgiveness exercises the power of judgment and pardon. You can only forgive what you know is sin. The power to know reality and call it what it is, that is real power. To expect and insist that a relationship means accountability, that is real power. Forgiveness is powerful because it expects vulnerability from the debtor. Real repentance is vulnerable. Forgiveness is forgiveness because it expects change. It expects honesty. It expects a real new beginning. Forgiveness is also vulnerable itself because it declines to use that power of truth for vengeance, and instead it shares in vulnerability by releasing our sibling in relationship from their debt. It uses power in the service of reconciliation and restored relationship. So forgiveness is a power move. It knows what is right and what's wrong, and it names it out loud, and yet releases that debt. That wrecked car sat on the flatbed at the top of the driveway for what felt like weeks. It was probably just days. But it was there as the hurt. It was hurt every time either I or my stepdad saw it. I knew exactly what I owed him. I actually drew up an accounting of what I owed him in dollars and in trust. And it was a lot. It was a whole lot. And then sometime later, as I got home, I saw a new, older than the one it replaced, a new car in the driveway. It was no comparison to the car that I had crashed, but I knew exactly what it was. It was forgiveness. Now, Rick would say that he did only what needed to be done. Maybe Jesus would agree with him. But from where I sit, there was something deeply gracious in it. There was the real grace of God in that moment of forgiveness. That is a glimpse of the kingdom of God that I carry with me, with gratitude and with hope. Amen. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. He says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And so we lift prayers today for all those needs that are on our hearts and our minds. We lift prayers of celebration for Barb and Rick Storjahan, who are celebrating this coming Friday 44 years of marriage. It is anniversary season, as you can see in the bulletin. And so we celebrate Barb and Rick. We celebrate so many who are celebrating anniversaries today, this week. We lift prayers for Linda Dasovic. Linda is Al Sievert's sister. Linda spent 3 weeks in isolation within Calvin Community because she had tested positive for COVID-19. She never did develop symptoms, and she finally yesterday tested negative and was able to return to her room. So we are grateful that she's able to be back in her regular room at Calvin. We lift up prayers for our neighbors in San Ysidro and throughout El Salvador. After heavy rains have led to mudslides, San Ysidro, of course, is also dealing with a critical food shortage due to the pandemic. And so we pray for our neighbors in San Ysidro and throughout El Salvador. We continue to pray for African American communities across the country. We pray for law enforcement officers. We pray for political, civic, and union leaders. We pray for accountability, for safety, for genuine reconciliation. And we pray for LGBTQ communities in Iowa and around the world. June is traditionally Pride Month. Most Pride activities have had to be canceled because of the coronavirus, but we continue to pray with and for our neighbors. We lift these prayers. We lift all the prayers that are on our hearts today. And we lift those prayers that God knows we need to lift for this world. God of righteousness, we put our trust in you. We want to do what is right. Give us the faith to follow you and serve our neighbors. Restore our relationships with one another. Hear the prayers of our hearts and help us always to pray for the things that would give you joy. We pray especially for those we know by name, for Barb and Rick, for all celebrating anniversaries, for Linda, for the people of San Isidro, for our neighbors in communities of color, in LGBTQ communities, our neighbors in uniform, our neighbors in office, our neighbors who are speaking out. And we lift up as well, O Lord, those needs that we hold in silence. O Lord, we entrust ourselves to you. Let what is righteous in us rise like the sun, and teach us to serve justice in all things. We wait for you, and our hearts learn to pray, as Jesus teaches us, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. It is so good and so important to pray together. We pray that all these prayers would become action for forgiveness, healing, and reconciliation in the world God loves so dearly. We welcome all the gifts that you can offer for the work of God's mission in the world. And we dedicate all our lives to God's purposes in the world this week. Thank you. Beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.